Hi, everybody. Welcome to the AES March meeting. Just barely. We're in March still. I want to start off by thanking Mark for coming out to do this. It's kind of a last-minute thing. And I think it's a great topic. And as you pointed out, it's something that we always have to remind ourselves of. I know every time I sit down to do some DB calculations, I'm like, oh, I got this, and then I get into it, and very quickly I'm like, oh, wait, and it gets kind of hairy it can get hairy quickly.
Okay, well, without any further ado, I'm going to hand it over to Mark. Mark, if you don't, do you mind doing your own intro?
Sure.
I think you'll do it better. And the only thing I just wanted to ask, I'm curious now, we have another person here from Greenbush. I don't know about Greenbush, so.
Okay, well, I'll briefly describe that. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm a consulting engineer designing audio and video systems and other weird related things. Greenbush is a multidiscipline engineering company. The biggest part of our company does mechanical design, HVAC, and boring stuff like that. I don't do that. I don't know how. We have an acoustics group that does architectural acoustics, noise control, underwater acoustical measurements. They have all kinds of fun toys. We have an elevator group, or what they call vertical transportation, that designs elevators and escalators and things like that. And then we have my little group, which designs audio and video systems of all sorts. So, and thank you all for coming. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about the decibel, which seems to get more and more confusing every year. I didn't think that was possible. I really don't know why it is so confusing, although it took me an awful lot of years to sort of figure it out. I'm not sure I have yet. But let's ask ourselves, what is a decibel? Anybody care to offer a definition?
A tenth of a bell.
Pardon? Yes, that's correct.
How loud something is.
Pardon?
How loud something is.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to take a stab at it. Without units, it's actually just a ratio. Is that?
Yes. You're on the right track. Let me just read to you a few definitions I've collected over the years. Some of this you may find amusing, and some of you will want to pull your hair out. This is actually from my college dictionary. I paid 75 cents for it in 1967. And it has a very short little definition that's actually pretty good. It says, a unit used to express relative difference in power. The key word is power. Usually between acoustic or electric signals equal to 1/10 the common logarithm of the ratio of the two levels. Now, that's not very extensive, but it's correct. And most people who got past junior high would be able to understand that. So that's pretty good. Merriam-Webster, the very popular online dictionary that I use myself a lot, their first definition says a unit for measuring how loud a sound is. Now, I don't really like that. It's not a unit of measure, for one thing. It's dimensionless. Then they have a little better one. It says full definition of a decibel, which says a unit for expressing the ratio of two amounts of electrical or acoustical signal power equal to 10 times the common logarithm of this ratio. Okay, that's pretty good. But then the third definition says a degree of loudness, also extremely loud sound, as in decibels. I don't know what that means. This is dictionary.com. I never used this before. I ran onto it the other day. It says a unit of power ratio, the number of units being equal to the to a constant times the logarithm to the base 10 of the intensities of the two sources. If you take that apart and parse it, it's wrong. It's not about intensities. It's about power. And if you do use intensities, they have the wrong multiplier on it. It's not 10 log in case of intensity. It's 20 log. We'll talk about that in a bit. But then they go on to define it correctly. A unit used to compare two voltages or currents equal to 20 times the common logarithm of the ratio of the voltages or currents measured across equal resistances. That's almost correct. They got that last part on there correctly, but it's not the resistance, it's the impedance, which is not quite the same. Wikipedia, which I'd always like to think has pretty good information on it. Listen to some of this stuff. A logarithmic unit, which it isn't a unit, used to express the ratio of two values of a physical quantity, often power or intensity. Okay, maybe. One of these values is often a standard reference value. True. The number of decibels is 10 times the logarithm to the base 10 of the ratio of two power quantities. Okay, that part they got right. But listen to some of this stuff on page. They have 17 pages of stuff in this article. And listen to this from page 7. Various published articles have criticized the unit decibel as having shortcomings that hinder its understanding and use. You know, I'd go along with that. There's a lot of crap out there, to wit. According to its critics, the decibel creates confusion, obscures reasoning, and is more related to the era of slide rules than to modern digital processing, are cumbersome and difficult to interpret. I continue. Representing the equivalent of 0 watts is not possible, causing problems in conversions. Only if you don't know how to code. One author concludes, decibels are a useless affectation, which is impeding the development of noise control as an engineering discipline. Have you seen this, Steve? It gets worse, I might add. You'll have to go to this webpage and have a look-see. One of my favorite online definitions comes from that man's company right there, rain.com. They have a really good dictionary. And their dictionary defines decibel, abbreviated little d, big B, equal to 1/10 of a bell. But they go on to say, a measuring system first used in telephony, blah, blah, blah. The preferred method and term for representing the ratio of different audio levels. It is a mathematical shorthand that uses logarithms, a shortcut using the powers of 10 to represent the actual number to reduce the size of the number. That enables you to use a relatively short range of decibel values to represent an enormous range of power. Keyword is power. It is a math. I lost my place. Being a ratio, decibels have no units. We'll say that again, has no units. But you can use it for a unit of measure. We'll show you how in a minute. Everything is relative. Since it's relative, it must be relative to some 0 dB reference point. Blah, blah, blah. And they list a whole bunch of different kinds of dBs, particularly those that are used in audio and acoustics. Old stuff isn't necessarily not better, and this book has a really nice definition that I like, and it says it's the basic unit of measurement of audio signal level, which isn't quite true. That's the most common use, but it's used to measure lots of stuff besides audio, and we'll see that in a minute. The bell is the common logarithm of the ratio of two powers. The decibel is 1/10 of a bell, and so is 10 times the log of the power ratio. That's nice and to the point and completely accurate. Doesn't explain the details, but I like that one. And this book is, how many people are familiar with the Great Yellow Book? Used to be yellow and bigger and thinner. Then it turned into a beige book. I didn't ever like the Great Beige Book. It's a good book, but it needed to be yellow. This is the latest version. There's a whole chapter in there on the decibel, which you should visit. And where did it come from? Well, long ago when the phone company first started doing phone stuff all over the place, they needed a way to measure signal levels and particularly the loss through the lines. And they were stringing these wires all over the country. So they came up with a measurement called the standard cable mile. They used that up till the early 20s. And it's based on 1 mile of 19-gauge copper having resistance of 88 ohms per mile and a capacitance of 0.054 microfarads per mile, which is kind of low, but the wire was strung on open poles. The distance between the wires was quite wide. Meanwhile, a guy named Harvey Fletcher was doing hearing research, trying to measure the minimum perceptible change of hearing, human hearing, and also to develop equal loudness contours and what another. And he came up with a measurement he called the SU. Can't remember what that stands for. You remember, Steve? Pardon? I don't know.
Sound unit?
I don't know. Can't remember. Anyway, it turns out that value-wise, the SU and the SCM, the standard cable mile, were pretty close together. So in 1923, Martin at Bell Labs defined the transmission unit intended to replace both of those quantities. And then a few years later, he wrote another article that renamed it to the decibel, Bell being named after the founder, Alexander Graham Bell. And the decibel, being a power ratio, can be used to express, to quantify the signal strengths or the ratio of two powers for electricity, for sound, for light, for radio waves, RF signals, probably other stuff too that I don't know about.
Mark, it was the sensation unit.
Pardon?
Sensation unit.
Really? Okay, I'd forgotten that. Thank you. Sensation unit, for those who didn't hear, is what SU stood for. So many kinds of systems can and do use the decibel in many different engineering and scientific disciplines. But originally it was based upon human hearing, at least Fletcher's work. It's logarithmic, as we've also already heard. Therefore, it accommodates very large ranges of values. And logarithms are very handy for that, if you remember your seventh grade math or whenever that was. And it allows computing gain and loss by addition and subtraction. And no matter what Wikipedia says, I find that easier to do in my head than multiplication and division. So why are we still confused? Well, the problem is it's often misused, abused, and just plain used wrong, especially in the audio industry, exceptions to present company, I might add. And I have a hunch that many of the manufacturers that are doing that don't know any better. I don't think they're sloppy. I think they're ignorant. Okay, so it really is just a tenth of a bell. And that was to make it nearly equal to the old transmission unit, and because the bell is too large an increment to be very useful. Well, what's a bell? 10 decibels, how about that? It's really very simple at the base level. It's a power ratio expressed logarithmically as dB, NdB equals 10 log of the power ratio. That's all there is to it. The key is it's a power ratio. And we often base it upon voltages or pressures or the like, but there's a trick we have to use to make that valid, and we're going to show you where that comes from and the part that most people leave out, including many textbooks.
Can you?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask something really, really basic. Can you go back one there? is, can you...
Here?
Yes. Can you say what 10 log is, what this means?
Oh, the logarithm is...
I think of it like a compressor. Conceptually, it's making the number much smaller.
The logarithm is the exponent of 10 that yields the value. So the logarithm of 10 is equal to 1. The logarithm of 1 is equal to 0. The logarithm of 100 is equal to 2, because 10 to the square, 10 squared is 100, so the logarithm of 10 of 100 is 2, the logarithm of 1,000 is 3, and so on. And a ratio of 100 in decibels would be 10, because it's 10 to the first power times 10 of 100 power ratio would be 20, because it's 10 times 2, which is 10 squared, is equal to 100. Is that your question?
I'm just trying to break it down for people that may not know, because it's
a button on your calculator.
It's confusing.
Pardon?
It's confusing at times.
Yeah.
But I'll let you go. I just wanted to
okay.
See if we can dig in a little bit.
I just want to point out the one thing that really helped me understand it is I began... It takes something that's in the log domain and puts it to the linear domain. And so just me, at least, I can think more easily in the linear domain than the log domain. So
yeah.
It's really nice. Decibel does that?
In the exponential.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Or just logarithm.
And you can see that if you plot something in the log domain, right, you'll get kind of a curve. And then if you convert it to dB, then you'll get a straight line. So it's taking the log domain and putting it to the linear domain.
Yes.
It's a ratio, so it doesn't have a unit, but why do we say 40 decibels?
Why do you need what?
Why do we say 40 decibels or 10 decibels that might be part of the confusion, because it's unitless because it's a ratio, but we are also saying 5 decibels.
Yeah.
What does it signify?
You don't have to use decibels, but if you start talking about ratios that are large, like 10,000 to 1, and you start to manipulate that, it just gets unwieldy. It's a way to because it's logarithmic, if you have a gain through a system of 100,000, it's a smaller number, and when you start multiplying that, because you have more gain blocks, instead of multiplying the gains, you can add the decibels, and it's just more convenient, really.
I understand the facility that this gives, but if we are calling it in decibels, yeah. I think it contributes to the confusion, because it gives a message that it's a unit or a measurement.
I think the context of what you're...
unit? I think that's the question.
It's the reference.
Sounds like a unit.
Hold your thought. We're going to get there, because you're on to something very important.
That's coming.
It's the context of the discussion, though.
Yeah.
You don't know whether, if you're talking about voltages, dB means one thing. If you're talking about acoustics, pressure, that's dB means something. The context of the discussion helps you understand what you mean by dB, because there's many different dBs, as we'll get to.
Yeah, what we've defined so far is the basic decibel. A decibel is a decibel is a decibel, except when it's a relative decibel and becomes a unit of measure. But we'll get there, so hang on, and we'll come back to your question if we don't cover it. In fact, the first thing people usually say here is, well, wait a minute, my book says it's 20 log something, not 10 log, and I don't want to measure watts, I want to measure volts. Well, there's a way to do that, sort of, but there's a pitfall that nobody thinks about, and many don't seem to know about. This book has essentially the official definition. This is the IEEE dictionary. This is an ANSI standard. Therefore, this is the official definition of the decibel. And let me read it to you. 1/10 of a bell, there we go again. The number of decibels denoting the ratio of the two amounts of power being 10 times the logarithm of the base 10 of this ratio. Now, that's all fine and good. That's what we've heard before. But then it goes on to say, when the conditions are such that the ratios of currents or volt or ratios of voltages or other analogous quantities in other fields are the square roots of the corresponding power ratios, the number of decibels by which the corresponding powers differ may be expressed by the following equations, which is n log 20 of V over V2, for example. It could be I over I2. It could be pressure over pressure 2. I'll read that again. When the conditions are such that the ratios of currents or voltage ratios of voltages are the square roots of the corresponding power ratios, then you can use the 20 log form of the ratio of the voltages or the pressures or some other intensity.
So that's saying that it only holds in systems that follow something like Ohm's law.
Yeah, hang on. I'll show you how to me, that's really hard to get my head around. So let me show you where that comes from. And the first place I saw this derivation was in good old Leo Branick's book published in the 20s, I think. Not many texts show this. Okay. That's our form right there, our general form, 10 log power 1 over power 2. But we also know that power is equal to the square of the voltage over the impedance. So let's plug that into the first equation, and we get that. And we can rearrange that to get the one on the bottom, which is it's 10 log of the ratio of the voltages squared times the impedances squared. So far, are you with me? And then we can look at, we have that, which is a rearrangement of that one. So it's 20 log of the ratio of the voltages, pulling out the squaring, plus 10 log of the ratio of the impedances. And it's the inverse ratio of the impedances, as you note. The trouble is most of the books leave that part out. And that's not valid in general. When is it valid? That's what the Triple E Dictionary was trying to tell you with all that verbiage. This right here. Okay, well, what if the impedances are equal? Well, then it's 10 log of x over x, which is 10 log of 1, and 10 log of 1 is 0. How handy. Now we have our voltage form without the impedance thing. Impedance is really a pain in the nose to measure. So when would the impedances be equal? Well, anytime you're making your measurement across the same port, the same pair of wires, you don't even need to know what they are. They're the same. So you don't need to compute that term at all. In air, if you're in the same room at the same atmospheric pressure and temperature and all that stuff, impedance is the same. Yes, air has impedance just like electrical things. But it's the same, so it's no longer a factor. That factor is equal to zero. They might also be the same even if you're measuring an input and an output and the impedances happen to be the same. But if they're not, and you only compute from the voltage ratio, that's not a decibel measurement, that's a decilog measurement. Strictly speaking, we all cheat on that, but it's technically wrong. So did everybody follow that? That's where you get there.
This goes back to, for the Math for Dummies, that is there an easy way to say, just because I think I was skipping school when we did logarithms, why 10 log 1 is 0, and I'll just file that away in my head. And then.
Why is 10 log of 1 equal to 0?
Yeah.
Because 10 to the 0th power equals 1. That's Yeah, that's where it comes from. So 10 to the first power is equal to 10, but 10 to the zero power is equal to 1. So that's why that factor
is anything to the 10. Zero power equal to 1?
Yes, everything to the zero power is.
So it's not just a
except special. Zero to the zero.
Okay,
true, correct.
There you go.
When I worked for an acoustics firm, we were teaching the FAA how to noise certify jets. And one of the things we did for our measurements was temperature humidity measurements, which I assumed was an impedance mitigating the sound level meter to find out what the actual sound is.
The impedance of air varies slightly with barometric pressure and temperature. And I think humidity is a small factor too. Is that correct? Steve is nodding yes, so must be right.
That's right. Yeah.
We have a rain note describing.
Dennis has a rain note on, not a rain note, but like a text.
Yeah, it has to because it affects the speed of sound, and that's what that is. So anyway, you can use the 20 log. Voltage ratio form when the impedances are the same. Basically, that's the bottom line for that form. But remember, it's always a power ratio. It's not a voltage ratio. It's okay to compute it from the voltage ratio if the impedances are the same, because then the 20 log of that ratio will be numerically equal to 10 log of the power ratio if the impedances aren't changing between the two measurements. It's a lot easier to measure voltage or pressure or even current than it is to measure power in many cases. The decibel itself is a ratio of two powers, so it has no units. It's not a unit of measure. It's dimensionless. But we can use it as a unit of measure, and we often do. When that dichotomy may not make sense, but if you make P2 an absolute reference level of something, like 1 watt, for example, or 1 milliwatt, then the decibel in that form becomes a unit of measure. The general form, that would be written as dBr, where R is the reference. But there's a whole bunch of them. Some of these you probably know and use all the time. Some you may never heard of. And this is a very short list. In fact, go to that Wikipedia article. I think they have 4 pages of them. Some I never heard of. Anybody know what dBq is? I never heard of that one before. And there's 2 dBqs, a dB big Q and a dB little Q, and they're not the same. Pardon?
Is it quality factors?
I don't know. But we have plain old decibels, dB, and then we have a general reference to a standard level, dBr, and in audio we make one reference to the milliwatt, dBm, the voltage of 0.775, which I'll explain in a minute, which is dBu, dB big V, which is one reference to 1 volt, dBw, which is reference to a watt, I think. Is it a kilowatt? I think it's one's dBw and one's dB big W. Oh, dBk is, I think, a kilowatt. There's dBfs, which is full scale, full deflection. It's essentially of a digital signal, audio signal. In acoustics, we have dBSPL, sound pressure level, which is the preferred abbreviation nowadays is L sub P. Nobody uses it, including me, but we should.
What does it stand for?
Level power. There's dBPWL, which is a power ratio measured acoustically of an acoustical signal, abbreviated L sub W. There's dBa, which we'll talk about weighting, spectral weightings, and that's what that refers to. In radio, in RF work, you have dBmv, which is millivolt, dB microvolt, dBi. I can't remember the reference on that one. Pardon?
Isotropic for antenna gain.
Yeah, but do you remember what the reference is, the field value? I don't either. And dBz, there's a whole bunch of them. So here's a few handy things to remember. 0 dBu is 0.775 volts. That's the reference, 0.775 volts. 0 dBm is reference to 1 milliwatt. Now, it turns out if the impedance is 600 ohms, which in the telephone world is kind of a standard for the impedances, and in their world they do have to match the impedances because their wires are really, really long. In our world, we usually don't match impedances, contrary to popular belief, or at least you shouldn't. That's a whole other subject. Maybe we'll talk Rain into doing that or something. There's a nifty derivation as to why that's not as energy efficient. But it turns out that 1 milliwatt across 600 ohms is 0.775 volts, so that's a handy number. That's why dBu is 0.775 volts. And it used to be written as dB little v, but that confuses with something else. I don't remember what it is. So they decided to call it dBu, which they claim stands for unterminated, which doesn't entirely make sense. But usually, if it's not 600 ohms, it's a bridging or an unterminated circuit that where the load impedance is much, much higher than the source impedance. And there's 0 dB V, big V, which is reference to 1 volt. And then there's, you can take note that 0 dB big V is equal to 1.107 dBu, which is reference to 0.775 volts.
So there's a thing about the 0.775 volts. Is it, I think I believe it, a square of 1 inch on a side, the diagonal is 0.775 of an inch. Do you know this?
You lost me.
Okay, so if you draw an inch square,
no,
yeah,
is this not true? What's
no, the more than longer. Longer.
It's longer. Yes. Oh, you're right. Okay, that's a great point.
The number comes from the voltage across 600 ohms that would generate 1 milliwatt, 1,000th of a watt. That's where the number comes from. And I don't think it's exact. I think it's 0.775 out to
774, not
yeah, some big long thing. But three digits of precision is plenty for audio people. You've all heard of plus 4 inputs and minus 10 inputs, the former being what pro stuff uses and the latter being what consumer gear usually uses, although some consumer gear uses much higher reference or standard outputs than that, and some professional stuff uses minus 10 or something else. But it's interesting to note that the difference between the plus 4 and the minus 10 is not 14 dB. And that absurdity comes from the fact, it's actually about 12.8, and that absurdity comes from the fact that plus 4 usually means plus 4 dBu, which is referenced to 0.775 volts. Or dBm sometimes if they actually load it. But the minus 10 usually refers to minus 10 dBv, which is referred to 1 volt. So that difference I just talked about factors in there. It's not a huge error, but if you make that error repeatedly, you can either chase your clip point down or your noise level up unnecessarily. Sound levels, acoustical signals, 0 dB SPL is defined as 20 micropascals, and that's a pressure level, so it's analogous to a voltage. Then, so when you're manipulating that, you're using the 20 log version. 0 dB PWL, the power part, is referenced to a picowatt. But if you like old books, like many of us do, you got to be careful, because in some of the old textbooks, they used a reference of 10 to the 13th, minus 13th watt, or tenth of a picowatt, and it's a 10 dB difference. That's not a trivial error. And, of course, the old books don't point this out because no one had, they didn't know that they were going to change that. Does anybody know the story of who or when or why that was changed? I don't know. Might be in the Great Yellow Book. I'll have to look for that sometime.
So 0 dB always refers to a certain amount of sound pressure?
Say that again?
0 dB always refers to a given amount,
yes,
of 20
micropascals
of sound pressure.
That's not true if you're measuring a power or voltage, right?
Pardon?
Yeah. See, the context, here's where the context, I think, matters. Mm-hmm. For his question, you were making the assumption you're talking about SPL, sound pressure,
SPL,
always,
yeah.
Acoustically.
Yeah, acoustically.
But that's not, 0 dB isn't necessarily a pressure if you're measuring a voltage. If your goal in life, the context of your dB discussion is volts.
Where would that come up, where you would get in trouble by using dB/SPL with voltages where the impedance are not the same? Anybody thought about that? When would an acoustical measurement have really different impedances? Let's say one of them is measured in air and the other one's measured in water. Impedance of water is way different than air. And we do some of that in our shop, and it confuses people sometimes. You have to make a conversion if you're making a comparison because you have an airborne source and you want to know what the levels are underwater or perhaps what's being radiated out of the water into the air nearby. And those things do come up. And you can't just measure the sound pressures and then compare them as decibel levels. That's invalid. There's a way to compute the differences in impedance, but don't ask me how because I don't know. Seth would know at our office. Pardon?
Are those formulas? Because they have different, maybe they have different units to use them as a formula.
Well, this is just the two references that are used for power levels, for the typical power levels and typical pressure levels for audio signals. Let's have a few more quizzy questions. You have a signal, and you're going to add to itself equally. So we have the same source. We're going to hook it to two channels of our console. Gain's the same, EQ's the same, and all that stuff. Does that double the power, the mixed signal, when you mix them equally?
Is it a sine wave?
And is 3 dB twice as much power? And is 10 dB twice or half as loud? And is 10 dB 10 times as much power? Those are your questions. Mark your answers in your mental chalkboard. Well, let's look at them. Okay, a signal added to itself, mixed at equal levels on the console, will double the power, increase the mixed level by 3 dB. That's false. Because if it's the same signal, in other words, the same device hooked to two channels, then the voltages are going to be doubled by mixing them equally, and that's a 6 dB increase, not 3. That's quadruple the power because the voltage doubles and the current doubles 4 times the power, 6 dB. People who mix really complicated stuff on consoles don't always understand this, and I'm not done. This gets more confusing. I need to back up. I left out a slide. If the two signals are not exactly the same, for example, let's say we had two noise generators and we used two of them instead of one of them wired to the two input channels, but they're identical. They're set exactly the same level, and they're identical noise generators, each one hooked up to a separate input, then mixed equally. How does that mix increase? That will be 3 dB. Why is it different? And you don't believe me? Go try this on your own console.
Okay. You confused me. So this is one case, and what was the other case?
The one case is we have the same noise generator connected to two inputs on the console, mix them equally, they increase 6 dB. In another case, we have two identical noise generators, both set to exactly the same output level, each one hooked to a input on the console, we mix them equally, that one increases only 3 dB. Why?
Because of correlation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because in the case of the single noise generator, the signals are the same, they're correlated. At any given instant in time, the voltage levels will be the same, so the voltage is double. But in the case of two separate generators, their signals are not correlated because it's random noise, even though the average noise level signal level is the same. They're only going to get increased 3 dB because you're going to increase the power. The voltages are not going to double. It will only go up 3 dB. Now, this gets really confusing because in many cases, it's neither extreme. It's somewhere in the middle. For example, if you have two singers side by side on a stage and you're mixing those guys, the background crap that's on the stage won't be 3 dB or 6 dB because part of it will be correlated and part of it won't. And it will vary by frequency and the location of the source. So you can drive yourself nuts trying to make those kind of measurements and wonder why you get a different answer every time. Dan?
When you lose one leg of a balanced line, you lose 6 dB. And those two are out of polarity. So how does that?
So you have a signal, you're hooking an unbalanced source to a balance.
You're running a balanced line into your console, and one of your pins drops, and two or three disappear.
Oh, your question is if the input, you're running a balanced signal into the console, and one leg opens up, then does it drop three or six?
Well, I know it drops six because I've watched it.
Usually, it depends on the console. But it drops by six. In a normal, truly balanced input circuit, it will drop by six because the voltage is halved.
Okay.
There are some where it goes dead because if it's a transformered input, for example, it would just go dead because it's not the common. The common isn't actually connected to the signal in any way. But in most electronic circuits, it would drop 6 dB. But there are some, what does Mackey call that thing that is balanced impedance-wise, but the voltage level doesn't change? I forget what he called that circuit. So there are some consoles where it doesn't drop at all, even though it is balanced impedance-wise. And balanced, by the way, is not defined, at least by IEEE, as being equal voltage on each half of the circuit. It's defined as having equal impedances on each half of the circuit. And that's why that circuit works.
It's a cross-coupled?
Pardon?
Cross-coupled is the name.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was a feature they developed for people who didn't understand what was going on and just confused everybody else.
It's a single-ended input, but it has equal impedance on the plus and the minus.
Yes, essentially that's correct. It's actually a fairly clever circuit.
Yeah.
Other people have used it too.
Mark, just before you go on, something I always get tripped up on. Six, if you double the voltage, and correct me if I'm wrong here, you actually get 6 dB in power, because of the squared term in the in the Ohm's law.
If the two signals are correlated, but if they're not, then it's only 3 dB. But it's not unusual for the signals to be partly correlated, correlated at some frequencies, not at others, because on the, in the two mics on a stage example, for example, if the microphones are 3 feet apart at the low frequencies, they're going to be correlated because they're just a fraction of a wavelength apart, whereas at the mid and upper frequencies, they'll be pretty non-correlated for sounds that are in the distance. For sounds where the distance between the source and each microphone is quite a bit different, then it's a crapshoot, depending on exactly what the waveform is of the source. And it'll probably vary from moment to moment. So is 3 dB twice as much power? No, that's false. This is a trick question. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's actually 3.01, blah, 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 blah. So it's not an exact relationship, but 3 dB is close enough, don't you think? Is 10 dB twice or half as loud? Well, maybe sometimes for the average standard human listener. And we'll talk a little later about the Fletcher-Munson curves, and that's what they were all about. But at low frequencies, it's completely not true. And I'll show you why when we look at the Fletcher-Munson curves. At low frequencies, it's more like 5 dB is twice as loud, but it depends on the level. Is 10 dB 10 times as much power? Yes, exactly. Which one of these usages is correct? The signal-to-noise ratio is 50 dB. This mixer clips at 21 dB. Boy, it was loud. Must have been 140 dB. I really like my Fluke because it measures dBm directly. This is a special annoyance of mine. The power amp's voltage gain is 26 dB, and I continue to see otherwise very good amplifier manufacturers put that spec on their cut sheet. Or the sound pressure level was minus 4 dBA. Which ones are those are good? The signal-to-noise ratio is 50 dB. Well, as a signal-to-noise ratio is dimensionless, that's completely correct, although it'd be nice to know what weighting factors they used and what bandwidth they used or what frequency. Mixer clips at 21 dB. Well, the reference is missing. Is that in dBU, dBV, dBm, or dB Cooper? How many people know who dB Cooper is? A whole bunch of people don't. I got to quit using that joke. They probably mean dBU or dBV. Probably dBU is the most common, but they should say so. It must have been 140 dB. Well, what that really says, think about it, it says the sound was 10 to the 12th times more powerful than what? The reference is missing. It should say dBSBL or similar. And does your Fluke measure dBm? I'm aware that Fluke says dBm. I have many other instruments that also say dBm. They do not measure dBm. They're measuring dBU, small u. They're voltmeters. They're not power meters. If you hang a 600-ohm resistor across it, then it's measuring power. But if you're going to do that, you better be careful what you measure, because a lot of stuff doesn't like a 600-ohm load. So what it's measuring is dBU, not dBm. I talked to some folks at Fluke about that one day, and they said, oh yeah, we know that. Well, then why don't you explain that in the manual? Well, it confuses people. And let me get this straight. By stating it wrong and labeling it wrong, you're reducing confusion. I don't get this, and I still don't get it. I'd forgive them for labeling it wrong if they would just explain that in the manual. Half a page would do it. And amplifiers, audio power amps at least, do not have voltage gains like that because the impedances are not equal. The input impedance is probably 10,000 ohms, maybe 100. The output impedance, the actual impedance looking back into it, is maybe 1 ohm, maybe way less. Even its load impedance is probably 8 or even 4 ohms. IEEE, the standard, the ANSI standard, says that use should be avoided. And they suggest that that should be expressed in deci-logs. Does anybody know where that came back from? I guess from the phone company way back when. I don't know. We know who it is. It's Crown and a couple other people. They've been doing it for decades, longer than I've been in the business, and that's been a while.
What kind of number would a deci-log measurement be?
It would measure the voltage, the output voltage for a given input voltage. But you can't use that ratio to compute decibels without plugging in that impedance correction factor, and when you do that, you won't get 26.
Is that the only difference?
So-called voltage gain is not a valid ratio to use for computing decibels unless you call it decilogs, which is a similar thing, but it's just not a decibel by definition.
So what kind of number of, well, how many decilogs would there be?
The 26 would be correct in decilogs, as if I understand the way they're measuring that, which is just in so many millivolts in gives so many volts out.
I was just going to ask, is that the only difference between a decibel and a decilog? Is that a decilog explicitly excludes any impedance?
Yes, essentially, yeah. There's a much longer-winded explanation in the dictionary, but if you're really interested in that, then this is a good reference, albeit fairly thick. The sound pressure level was minus 4 dB SPL. And by the way, dBA tells you that it's dB SPLA weighted. Some argue that you shouldn't leave out the SPL, and they're right, but every acoustical consultant on the planet does it that way. I guess we're stuck with it. But the point is, yes, you can have minus. You can have a level that's below 0 dB SPL. That's just a reference level. That would be like saying you can have a decibel level below 1 volt, which would be a minus number in dBV. So they can go below that. Now, that low of a signal level wouldn't be audible to anybody, but yes.
So just an interesting side note, many people here might know that just up the road, Microsoft's lab measured minus 21, which got the Guinness record for the quietest lab.
I read that in the paper. Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. So a whole bunch of, you know, wizardry around that number, but people can debate that all day long.
You should see if you can persuade them to let us have a meeting there sometime. Yeah, some of us would like to hear that room.
We met out at Microsoft Research.
Oh, it was Microsoft Research.
We've been there, but we've never been
to this lab.
Something nearby here.
Oh, but that. Okay, yeah, we could definitely we'll talk off. Yeah, about that.
Okay. Take advantage of the power of logarithms to do that. As power ratios multiply or divide, their dB values add and subtract. So if you have an amplifier that has a gain of 5,612 times, but you know the input and the output, then and you know the, you can compute the gain of each of those voltage amplification or loss blocks in decibels, and then you string a bunch of them together, and you just add up the losses and or the gains, which will be positive, and subtract the losses, which will be negative.
Before you go on, just for your own reference, back up one, please. Multiply should be
spelled correctly before you released it. Mutt-lively.
Oh,
no problem.
Unless that's a new term.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that keyboards don't spell nearly as well as they used to? I wonder how long that's been that way. You're the first guy that noticed it. You get a gold star.
I'm sorry, Mr. Professor.
No, I appreciate it. Okay, so if you double the power, it's 3 dB, or pretty close. Half it, it's minus 3 dB. Double the voltage is 6 dB. Half voltage is minus 6 dB. You 4 times the power is 6 dB, and so on. 10 dB is 10 times the power, 20 dB is 100 times the power, and you can mix and match that stuff to amaze your friends and neighbors by computing various levels in your head.
So, question?
So yeah.
When I do gain, yeah, it's the that one. Like in SoundForge, when I lower the volume by 3 dB, am I halving anything?
Yeah, if you lower the volume 3 dB, that you're causing the power to decrease by half,
is
two
it half
halves.
As loud?
Pardon?
Is it half as loud?
No, hang on, we're getting there.
Oh.
That, and that's a really good question. Consider that the ratio of 1 watt to 10 watts is the same as 100 watts to 1,000 watts, 10 dB. Now, if you think about that for a minute, if you have a 100-watt amplifier and you need your system to be 10 dB louder, you probably need another loudspeaker or two. So you probably can't put 1,000 watts into that one speaker. Maybe you can, but the likelihood is you're going to need to look at a different speaker or a lot more of them.
So going back to the previous slide, if somebody asked the question, was that dBU we were referring to? Because it didn't indicate which type of dB you were using.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Last slide? Previous slide?
Oh, previous slide?
Yeah. Is that all dBU? What are we talking about here?
Oh, these are just plain old decibels.
Plain old decibels.
So it doesn't matter which reference you're using or if it's just an arbitrary value or arbitrary ratio. Good question. What time is it? Is this a good place to take our break?
Sure.
After the break, we're going to talk a little bit about the Fletcher-Munson curves, and then we're going to play a few sounds and point out a few peculiarities that are very interesting. And I'm going to test everybody to see if you know how much of a change is 3 dB or 10 dB or 20 dB.
So 15 minutes? Sound good?
Yeah. And we have cookies and water and stuff here.
Thank you.
Thank you.